WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Congress is facing a midnight Tuesday deadline to pass a spending bill and avert a government shutdown. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries blasted President Trump for going to the Ryder Cup on Long Island.
Donald Trump, get back to Washington, D.C. Why are you at a golf event and the government is 4 days away from closing? That's outrageous.
The White House budget office is threatening permanent layoffs if there's a shutdown. In past shutdowns, workers were only furloughed. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster has declared a state of emergency ahead of a tropical system in the Caribbean that could become Hurricane Imelda.
I'm Jim Crissell at Sunset Beach, North Carolina. While there's still lots of uncertainty, the developing storm well east of Florida is expected to impact the southeast U.S. coast early and mid next week. Parts of Georgia and the Carolinas could see rough surf, strong winds, very heavy rain, and a threat of tornadoes.
Hurricane Umberto is now a major Category 4 storm with sustained winds of 145 miles per hour. All this a year after Hurricane Helene ravaged parts of North Carolina. CBS's Janet Chamlian is there.
Jody and Steve Dunning own Swannanoa's Okidoki Smokehouse. Flooded by the storm, they've been making repairs themselves.
Do you feel forgotten here?
Yes, absolutely.
Why do you think that recovery has lagged here?
I think that a lot of resources have gone to where tourism is more popular, and yeah. Swannanoa is not that place.
ICE has detained the public school superintendent of Des Moines, Iowa. It says Dr. Ian Roberts is in the country illegally. Parent Tanya Keith thinks Roberts was targeted because he complained about education funding cuts.
He was speaking out against the injustice that is coming from our state and federal government, and of course they had to target him. And it's wrong, and we need to stand up and fight back and say that, no, this is not something, this is not Iowa nice.
ICE says Roberts had a handgun on him when he was arrested. Federal health officials say you should not eat certain pasta meals sold at Walmart.
Market-side linguine with beef meatballs and marinara sauce may be contaminated with listeria. The meals were sold in 12-ounce clear plastic trays and have Best Buy dates of September 22nd through October 1st. Fresh Realm, the food producer that distributed the product, says tests showed that pasta and the meatball meals may be contaminated with the same bacteria tied to a recall of chicken fettuccine Alfredo over the summer. That outbreak killed three people and sickened at least 17. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
So far, no illnesses have been linked to these latest meals. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsinites are getting loud about how proposed utility rate hikes would impact their lives. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Alliant Energy, Xcel Energy, and Madison Gas and Electric filed applications with the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin to increase their electric rates in 2026 and 2027, citing a need for infrastructure upgrades. Xcel customers like 60-year-old Thomas Burhan of Superior have already been grappling with how to keep up with rising costs. Burhan, who is disabled and lives on a fixed income, says his energy was already shut off earlier this year after he fell behind on payments.
It may be only $16 or $18, but that money could be spent for a medication that I need, for groceries, in many other better ways.
Xcel Energy electric rates would increase by more than 11% next year and by about 7% in 2027. Burhan voices strong frustration about the disparities between Xcel Energy executives' compensation and the financial struggles of ordinary Wisconsin residents. In 2024, Xcel Energy CEO Bob Frenzel made $12.7 million, according to Salary.com.
I could live off that 1 hour's work very comfortably for a month. and have money to burn. And that's what is so infuriating. They have no idea what it's like for the common people in Wisconsin.
Public Service Commission hearings for Xcel Energy took place earlier this month. PSC says it will make a decision on all three utility rate cases later this year. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs near 81. Clear tonight, low 60s. Sunshine with a high near 72 for Sunday. On Monday, sunshine, 77, mid-70s and mostly sunny on Tuesday. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high near 70.
It's 51 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the show. Holy cow. I'm Mark Becker, and you are listening to The Rational Revolution, as always, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, this is cool. I'm super excited for this guest, because this is like announcement season, and we've had some folks that are coming on, running for all sorts of things, and I was telling this person before we got on that my guest now, I've had more requests to have this person on than anyone else that I've had on the show since I've started doing this like almost 2 years ago. So I have state representative and candidate for governor, Francesca Hong.
Hello. Here.
What is up?
Oh my gosh.
That's a loaded question.
That better than how are you though.
Oh yeah.
I will say that it's really cool to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Mark. Thank you. You've had yourself a week.
Yes.
Yeah. I talk about that. What's going on in your world?
It's been a whirlwind. We announced my campaign for governor last Wednesday. Just had a cascade of support from folks all across Wisconsin. I just got the word today that we have over 500 volunteers for our campaign.
Seriously?
Yeah, and they're all across the state, which I think is so cool. It's not just Madison. It's I think we had folks all the way from Superior, Sheboygan, our Malibu of the Midwest, and so we're stoked.
Malibu of the Midwest. Yeah. I like that.
And we've just hit the ground running. It's been had stops in Hortonville, was up in La Crosse, Sparta, Vernon County. I mean, it's a privilege to be able to in all these amazing spaces. This state is beautiful.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're very, very lucky here. What prompted this? Why now? What do you want to do?
This is a moment for a movement. And I think right now, working class people are recognizing every day that the deck is stacked against them, that the system is rigged. And so what we need is a coalition of working class people across the state coming together to demand the policies that we deserve. And we are focusing on what people are telling us when we go across the state. And regardless of zip code, I'm hearing about public schools and fully funding public schools, universal childcare, and how expensive and inaccessible childcare is right now. We're an aging state. Folks are concerned about long-term care.
Yep.
And then paid leave. We learned, especially during the pandemic, where folks shouldn't have to choose between making their rent payment and taking care of themselves or a loved one when they're sick.
Yeah. So tell us about, what are the, I know you just hit on them now, the pillars of your campaign. Mm-hmm. What are you talking to people about? How are you going to do what you're going to do and all that kind of stuff?
we have to think about how we care for ourselves, who we are caring for, and how we make sure that they still have opportunities to care for themselves and others. And so, especially around the care economy and care infrastructure, I think about the folks who are doing the really hard work of caring for our elders and at-home healthcare workers, mental health care workers. I mean, they shouldn't have to worry about making rent and making less than folks at Quick Trip right now. And so this is about making Wisconsin affordable, making sure working class people have what they need to live the lives that they deserve.
It's interesting that you say that, because my wife has a friend who was a personal health worker for decades, and she works at Quick Trip now. It's a real thing.
I mean, that work is so hard. It takes emotional labor, mental labor, and it's like you can't just turn off taking care for another person.
I was told, like, y'all need to unionize. Hell yeah, for real. So your background, you're a state representative from Madison. Mm-hmm. How is that?
Working in the state legislature in the minority party is challenging. I often talk about how it's like, I'm banging my head against the marble. Mm-hmm. But that just means I have to work even harder to organize and get out to different parts of the state to listen to the concerns and what people care about in Wisconsin. I'm also a single mom. I'm renting in a majority renter city. I'm a very proud service industry worker, still bartending, line cooking wherever I can.
Yeah.
And I'll always be a community organizer first. And so while the title might be state representative, I'm just out here hustling, working hard like so many Wisconsinites. And I think it shouldn't be so hard when folks are working so hard to get by.
Yeah, there was an article, I think, that just came out about how, because like in the state legislature, you guys don't get paid a ton. And there was an article, and I didn't read it yet, but it was about how a lot of the state reps and state senators have, you know, side hustles and different jobs and all that kind of stuff. So a friend of mine who's now our dear mayor was the state representative here, and he described being in the minority party as getting your teeth kicked in every day at work. And I asked him that one day, and he looked exhausted. Eric Genrich, shout out. And he's like,
hi, Eric. Sucks.
Yeah, Eric, I love him. He's a wonderful guy. Okay, so you work state representative, getting your teeth kicked in, banging your head against the marble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At what point did you think that this was something you wanted to do, run for governor?
I think about the moment that we're in.
Yep.
There is deep uncertainty, chaos, and rising crises. When I first ran for office in 2020, it was a similar time. And I saw failure in leadership and government doing harm. You know, there was a lot of threats to public health. Folks, you know, I decided to close my business, and it was really hard for my employees to get unemployment insurance, which they rightfully deserved. And I realized that the system, even as a small business owner, wasn't designed to support me or my staff.
Right.
So the community sent me to serve in the legislature, and I'm finding myself in that moment again where looking at what our state needs is not just a fighter, but someone who's willing to fight alongside folks. This has to be about not just my campaign, but building a coalition to make sure that working class people continue to build power so that we get what we deserve.
Yeah. And it's interesting. There's, I think there's a lot of excitement for that message here on the left. I really do. How's the reception been so far for you? All right, 500 volunteers. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we're, you know, just over a week since we announced. I think we have a map right now of where folks have signed up to volunteer and where folks have donated from. And right now, like, our average donation is, you know, $47. And that's cool. Me is about working class people power, grassroots power. But to see folks, you know, the This is about how do we combat rising costs, and we have to do it together, and we have to do it with legislation that is transformative and meets the urgency of this moment.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with that. It's interesting when I, don't take offense to this. When you announced, I didn't know much about you. And so I asked a friend of mine who is way smarter than myself. And I said, but tell me about Francesca Hong. Like, what's her deal? And he's like, she's brilliant. She's great. She's a fighter, service industry person. And he's like, she's part of the Socialist Caucus. And I was like, ah, again, stick with me here. Okay. Stick with me. And he goes, and she swears a lot. And I was like, yes. I'm like, okay. Cause I have a terrible mouth, and, you know, it's swearing is like a sport. So this is very difficult to keep it clean for me. And I'm like, all right, let me see what she's got to say. So I started watching your videos and listening to what you had to say. And so I kind of went from, to, all right, how, you know, like what you're advocating for and your positions and all that, they're not nuts, you know? And so how do you go from, you know, this is a purple state. And so let's say that you have success in that primary. How do you get other people like me to go from, to, all right, you know?
Well, Mark, I'm on the show Rational Revolution, I am going to say many Wisconsinites are ready for practical policies. Practical policies around public education, affordable child care, paid leave. And the biggest one really has been when I talk to folks around long-term care. We are an aging state. And so regardless of political identity, I am going to fight to make sure folks have basic needs met, because I think everyone deserves housing, education, you know, health care, and they should all be cheaper right now. This is, you know, your reaction to hearing is being a democratic socialist, I think is okay, because we should democratize discomfort, but we should also democratize our economy. And right now it is rigged. It is unfair towards working class people.
Yeah.
And that's why when I say tax the billionaires, this is practical policy. Make them like people should pay their fair share of taxes.
Do we have, we're talking about the governor candidate, Francesca Hong, state representative, and do we have enough billionaire? Now, you're going to lose that demographic, by the way, the billionaires.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit. Yes, I think, you know, I'm pretty charming.
Well, I don't doubt that. Yeah.
But I'm also a chef. I think that I can bring people around a table. I'm a community connector. You ask folks in Madison and even outside of Madison, like, that is truly, it's about bringing people to the table. And I think I can get some billionaires there, and we can talk about practical policy.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I don't want to, we're getting to a break here, because I do want to talk about that. And I think that the more people hear some of these ideas and the more people have, I mean, you know, I was a Republican. I was the chairman of the Republican Party here in Brown County. And I was always someone who, even though I was on the conservative side, I was pro-marriage equality. I was pro-women's rights. So I was the guy that was trying to push people out of their comfort zone, because it does make sense to be able to do that. And if you can do that respectfully and have that conversation, you know, people can go from, ugh, to, oh, okay.
Well, and clearly swearing brings people together. And so I'm not stopping that. I get asked it all the time. I'm just like, I'm sorry, in these times, if you're not swearing, I'm kind of skeptical.
Yes. I have a terrible mouth.
We're both service industry. Oh, like, being working in the kitchen, I'm pretty sure F was all of like, them. Yeah, every other word.
It's,
and if
it's
you're
like
a politician,
the.
Same thing.
Right, right. So, yeah, no, there's that's absolutely correct. 1,000,000%. Here on the Rational Revolution, we are talking with State Representative and candidate for governor, Francesca Hong. Stick around. We're going to talk about some of the stuff. How do we get from ugh to oh? We're going to hit that on the other end of the break here. Thank you so much for sticking around.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by attorney Michelle Fitzgerald at Horizons Law Group. Getting divorced or need divorce coaching? See horizonslaw.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
A small conversation can make a big difference. Asking someone if they're okay is important. And during the Suicide Prevention Month, check in. And remember, 988 is always open. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Beep! Not just kidding. Ah, Rational Revolution, we're talking with State Representative. And that was so well timed. God, that was, I'm new to this, but hey, that was, I got to pat myself.
Well
that was
well
funny.
Done.
I'm hilarious. Francesca Hong. And we were talking about how to go from, you know, the to being open to some different ideas. I do think that's really important. I think that being able to sit down and have conversations and open people's minds, that's really important. And you're going to need that, you know, maybe not through the primary, but if you get through the primary, well, you'll need that for the general. And you can't cook everybody in Wisconsin a meal, but I think that there's room to be able to have a discussion like that. How do you do that though? You know, because what's going to happen? Yeah. You got Tom Tiffany is going to be like, "Josh, she's insane. She's a socialist. Well, we're not a socialist state." Tom Tiffany sucks, but you know.
Well, I go back to my three T's then. Tom Tiffany tariffs.
Oh, yeah.
You might need to add a fourth T there because it seems like who he cares about, not the people of Wisconsin, is Trump. So
Yep.
Four T's. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm worried about are working class people not being able to get by in a system that doesn't work for them, even though they're working so hard. And Wisconsin values, you know, I'm proud to be in this state.
Yeah.
You know, born and raised, it's where I'm raising my son.
Yeah.
And folks in Wisconsin are proud, and they work hard, and they hustle, and they deserve a governor who does as well, and who's going to hustle for solutions and deliver those solutions so that folks can live the lives that they want. And what folks are asking for, again, regardless of zip code, you know, I talked about public education, long-term care, cheaper healthcare in Sparta, Wisconsin. When I was up in Ashland County, we folks were worried about young people leaving their communities.
Yeah.
And it turns out young people really care about cheaper healthcare, cheaper childcare, and making sure that they have housing,
right?
And so when we keep it to these issues that are so core to folks' everyday lives, and you've got an everyday normal person who swears, is a single mom, but out here like hustling and making sure that their governor is someone who's going to put their community first, regardless of what folks may judge me on, I'm going to meet them where they are. And that might be a dive bar.
Yeah,
that might
be
a bowling alley. I'm still trying to get into a pro wrestling match and a rodeo. and I hear there's stock car racing.
I have a race car. I know, for real. I do.
Nice. Absolutely. Have you ever been to New Richmond? That's where we're headed in a little bit.
Oh, for real?
I hear there's stock car racing there.
There is, I think my racing is just about done for the year, but your campaign's still going to be going on in the summer.
Yeah.
So, like, seriously, I have a dirt car that if you want to come, I'll have you at the stock car races, man. Swear to God, absolutely.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, for real.
We're going to get it in the cowl, lock it in. I'm here for it.
Deal. Yeah, I would love that. That'd be awesome. Just don't judge me if I crash, okay?
No judgments here. Right. We're swearing buddies, service industry for life.
Like, yes. Yeah. The customer is not always right. She's laughing. No, that was so like I owned my restaurant and like we had people and I had a staff that I wanted to have the most diverse staff that I possibly could because that's the face of the community. And, you know, we served like burritos and stuff. And so, you know, I wanted to have a staff that represented the people of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people were, but like my thing was that the customer was not always right. Mm-hmm. People do not have the right to treat you like dirt. You are not a doormat to anyone. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, that's a Wisconsin value, right?
Yeah.
We're nice, but we're not doormats.
No. And there's Midwest nice and then Wisconsin nice. And I think Wisconsin nice is actually the good kind.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Yep.
And here's the thing about being service industry. It's that we not only hustle, but we make sure that we are planning every day, right? Whether it's in the kitchen and getting your mise en place or in the front of house and making sure that everyone's ready for service. But the variable always is the customer, right? You can't always plan for how people are going to be. But we're the folks who are nimble and in this make it work mindset. And I think that actually is a huge strength for me going into this world of politics and running for office and running for governor is that we're solution minded.
Yeah.
We got to make it work and we have to hustle.
So the surplus is gone and a lot of the things that you're talking about is going to cost a lot of money. How do we pay for that? I mean, the Medicaid expansion, like you can't do that anymore. I mean, it's like $2 billion or something like that. How do we pay for the things that, I agree that we have to do those things. How can we do those things?
Tax the fucking billionaires.
Okay.
We need to look at ways to bring in revenue for our state and whether that's legalizing weed or making sure that we have, we can still expand Badger Care. And I think that a fair taxation system and looking at a rainy day fund, it's raining fascism right now. So we have ways, we have to be innovative and we have to make it work.
I think, oh my God, the legalization of cannabis and THC marijuana, all that is an untapped gold mine for this state. And it's ridiculous that it's not done. It's a whole industry that we can create, like that. Yeah. We have one more segment here with Governor candidate, State Representative Francesca Hong. We're going to talk about how do we govern with the new maps and all that stuff. So yeah, stick around. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Congress faces a Tuesday night deadline to avert a government shutdown. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is upset President Trump attended the Ryder Cup on Long Island.
Donald Trump, get back to Washington, D.C. Why are you at a golf event and the government is 4 days away from closing? That's outrageous.
South Carolina's governor has declared a state of emergency ahead of a possible visit from a storm system that could become Hurricane Imelda. CBS's Jim Crisula is in Sunset Beach, North Carolina.
Parts of Georgia and the Carolinas could see rough surf, strong winds, very heavy rain, and a threat of tornadoes.
Hurricane Umberto, which could also impact the southeastern U.S., is now packing winds of 145 miles per hour. Some parents in Des Moines, Iowa, are upset. ICE has detained school superintendent Dr. Ian Roberts.
He was speaking out against the injustice that is coming from our state and federal government, and of course, they had to target him.
ICE says Roberts is in the country illegally. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
The Brewers battle the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds again tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew losing last night to Cincinnati 3-1. A big night for the Reds' Gavin Lux, who grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Lux with a pair of doubles and scored the go-ahead run. Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester allowed all three runs on 9 hits in 5 innings pitched. It's the first time in 19 games the Brewers lost while Priester was on the mound. Pat Murphy on the right-hander's performance.
I thought he did a fine job, gave us 5+. A sinker, he didn't have control of his sinker early. He's had that long layoff. He's not used to that, so who knows how that affected him.
College football, the Badgers face Michigan in Ann Arbor next weekend. They have a bye week this week. NFL, the Packers headed to Dallas to play the Cowboys tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football. Green Bay has now won 6 in a row there, including Super Bowl 45. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions in keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Catherine Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs near 81. Clear tonight, low 60s. Sunshine with a high near 72 for Sunday. On Monday, sunshine, 77, mid-70s and mostly sunny on Tuesday. For Wednesday, partly sunny and a high near 70.
Right now, it's 55.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. That we can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Working 9 to 5.
Definitely, this is a Conrad one.
It wasn't requested by me.
Who requested it? Oh, did you really?
No Dolly way. Dolly Parton is all
right,
iconic.
All right, this was, I'm just kidding. This was a Francesca Hong song. Is that, okay.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
So all I'm right, working 9 obsessed. To 5.
Is this going to be your, this like your walkout song?
Oh.
Professional wrestling.
Normally
yeah?
It would be, but okay. Have you heard of this little show called K-pop?
Oh my
Hunters?
God! Yes, yes. K-pop.
Gonna be
Hunters.
Gonna be golden.
All right,
Mark.
All right. Yeah, my daughter loves that, and like my son, he's 8, so like Gabrielle, she'll be jamming to it, and then Ben, he's it's a girl movie, but then he'll just be like,
Yep.
He gets
it's an
into
everybody
it.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah. So we're at Rational Revolution. We're talking with state representative and governor candidate Francesca Hong. If you like what we have to say, which I'm sure you will, everything that we do is on podcast form too. So civicmedia.us, like it, share the show. We're trying to grow this too. So anything that you guys can do would be awesome and so appreciated. We were talking about how tax the billionaires is kind of what you're known for, and how do we pay for the things that we need to do?
There's often a lack of creativity and maintaining the status quo.
Yeah.
And I think that when in moments of chaos and crisis, there are opportunities for change.
Yeah.
And it's going to take folks who are not just focusing on the politically expedient thing, but the thing that takes more moral courage. And it is going to be a risk. Oftentimes folks aren't quite ready for change. But in these times, we don't have a choice but to make sure that we have services available to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, and as cheap as possible.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about, we had Secretary Jill Underly on, and we were talking about how, education is being decimated by vouchers. And, and here in Green Bay, they were badasses. I think I can say that. And they put the, Laura McCoy is a dear friend of mine and she's incredible. She was on talking about this. It's amazing what they did.
We shouldn't be funding two school systems.
Right.
And that's one of the things with both tax fairness as well as transparency for our tax dollars, our to go towards private unaccountable voucher schools. I mean, this is, again, the practical thing to do is for those funds to go to our public school so that every kid has what they need to do well in their classroom and that teachers are respected too. And so that public education, especially public schools, that is a unifying issue, regardless of zip code. You got folks who are going to be pissed if they have to close their public schools because the state is forcing them to go to referenda and raise their own property taxes because they won't properly fund our public schools.
So it's no, you know, what's interesting, and we're kind of talked about this on with a few different people too. It's like, what was that stupid thing? Oh, Republic, if you can keep it. You know, that's what like the right like to use about how, why we shouldn't do things to the left. But I think with the new maps, this is going to be like a majority if you can keep it. How there's going to be a natural desire to like bend everything as far to the left as you possibly can. I think how once the balance of power comes to the left, how can we make sure that it doesn't snap back the other side? And you know what I mean? How do we do that?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that first question you asked me about why. And it's because this is a movement moment. And to build movements, it takes organizing. And what is organizing? It means folks coming together in their communities to talk about the issues they care about, to bring folks to the table. And when you are building up organizing infrastructure, right, where folks stay connected, where folks recognize that, like, when you have politicians that deliver for you and you feel like material changes to your life and things are getting better, turns out you're probably going to want to keep voting for those folks, which is why there is such an urgency to pass transformative legislation like universal childcare, like guaranteed paid leave, like fully funding our public schools. And we have to be nimble and innovative and practical about it. But there is an urgency, not because folks, we have to lessen suffering as elected officials. It is our core responsibility to lessen suffering, and it's coming at the end of 2026. And so coming together, getting the Democratic trifecta, and ensuring that we are courageously passing the most progressive legislation to improve people's lives as quickly as possible is how we are going to keep from having a snapback, but instead build out strong organizing infrastructure to keep that working class power majority.
I think, too, that sometimes when people hear, you know, because years ago, that's the world that I lived in is on the right. I think when people hear these things of like, you know, universal healthcare, universal childcare, universal, you know, raising the minimum wage, people don't necessarily believe that it's possible. And I think that's the first hurdle that that you'll have to go up against. And then, you know, you're going to have Tom Tiffany saying, oh, socialist, all that stuff. But I think just selling it to people that this is something we can do.
On our campaign, we say, we make better possible. And that's actionable. That's coming together. That part of fascism is to take away folks' ability to have a vision, to dream, to think about things being better for everyone. So having a vision and knowing that we make better possible is part of resistance, is part of fighting fascism. And it's, we're only going to be able to do this if we organize and come together. And I know that with how hard Wisconsinites work, they're ready for this. And is every single, like how we have conversations going to be the same in every part of the state? Probably not. But when I say cheaper healthcare, or when I say, I know up in Western Wisconsin, when I was talking to a guy at a dive bar in Chippewa Falls, he was talking to me about his mother who would drive herself to her appointment every week, and she no longer can. And so these are personal issues for folks, and they deserve to have a solution where their lives improves and they don't have to worry about how they're going to take care of themselves or the people they love. It is possible. We have to make it possible.
Yeah. And that's interesting too, because like everybody has a story like that. Everybody does. Whether you're on the left or right or center, everybody has something. Well, yeah, I had an EpiPen and it cost me $25 and now it's $300. You know,
yeah, a business owner who, you know, right now is on the Affordable Care Act, or that
I was
that's
when
happening.
I owned my, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is, I went to work sick all the time when I was line cooking, because it's like, I can't afford to miss a shift. And if I'm going to go to the emergency, they tell me to go to the emergency room, I chose not to because I didn't want to have a bill for $900, right, which I had gotten before when I went to an emergency room. And so everyone's got a story, and it's storytelling and connecting through stories that actually is a huge part of organizing. And that's what we're going to have to do. We can organize the people, build a movement, and make sure that we are electing politicians who want to work within that movement to deliver transformative policies, practical policies.
Well, and how, because this is going to be, I think, such a big conversation for people that this is bigger than you, this is bigger than me, this is bigger than so many people, because it's how do we have that conversation that gets to the same end result in Madison and Brown County? How can we say in Madison, hey, we're fighting fascism. This is, I put a post on my personal Facebook a week ago. It was like, if you want to stop being called fascist, stop doing fascist things. And then I put a picture of like Donald Trump's face on the side of the federal building. But that's not like you say that in Brown County, that's pretty purple, a little bit red. How do we connect those things and get people to be on your team with that same end goal?
Folks are feeling that things are different and yeah. that they're not right. And regardless of zip code, if you're in Brown County or Chippewa County or Dane County where I'm at, when we bring it back to the issues like rising utility costs, like cheap rent, like making sure that everyone has health care, people have a story. The other part is it's not about talking all the time about what we deserve. It's important that as a candidate, as a politician, I let folks know that I'm no better than them, but I want to work for something that they deserve. And it is then about, you know, one of the things I say often is like, look, I've been a taxpayer since I was 16 years old.
Right.
And I want more bang for my buck. You know, I want my money, like I want more for the money that I give to the state. And I want that money to go towards public schools, to cheaper childcare, to making sure that I can have paid leave. There are different ways that you can get to the issues that people care about. We have to be very disciplined, of course, in how we get there. But I think that's what makes our campaign so powerful. And me as a candidate, where I'm a normal working class person right now. And yes, I have state representative in my title, but I'm coming to you as the single mom, as the person right now who understands that things shouldn't be like this when we're out here hustling so far. I want my tax money to go towards things that I care about. I want my money's worth.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, is how there's going to be a really big conversation as well about, yes, this is a state issue and these states are things are important. But we're also seeing like troops from the National Guard being federalized, and we're seeing, you know, free speech under attack. And so Donald Trump and some of those folks are really are getting in the way of basic freedoms. And so governors and states are really important in that mm-hmm. in that arena as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it is the responsibility of the executive, the governor, to protect the people of our state. And I think that one of the best ways to do that is to ensure that folks can protect their own freedoms, especially economic freedom, right? To be able to have economic security,
yeah.
to be able to get by and not just get by, but do really well and right. live the life that you deserve the way you want it. And so as there are these federal threats, I think that's even more reason why we have to have transformative policy that right. is bold and practical and are going to change people's lives.
Well, I know this, so we got a minute left, and I know we're going to have you at the racetrack next year.
Yes.
How do people get a hold of you? How do people get in contact and volunteer and all that stuff?
You can volunteer at www.francescahong.com. Follow us on socials. They even have me on TikTok now, Blue Sky, the nice. Twitters, Facebook, Instagram. I'm an elder millennial, so I'm always yes. going to be on the Instagram.
Same. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much
this
for having
cool.
me, Mark.
This was cool, and I'm excited to see what you do. I really am. Thank you so much, and we will be right back on the Rational Revolution. Go kick some butt.
Thank you.
Yes.
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. No. Yeah, feeling good was easy now when he sang.
Well, that was an interesting conversation. That was cool. She's awesome. That was State Representative Francesca Hong, who's a candidate for governor. It's cool to see such a diverse group of ideas that are kind of coming out of the woodwork to run for governor. I think it's going to be a fascinating year to see how it all plays out. Like I said, when I first heard about her candidacy, I wasn't sure, because we all remember what it was like with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and you know, the establishment did everything that they could to try to get Bernie out. You remember, with the super delegates and all of the, you know, the stuff that the establishment had their candidate, and they did not want someone who was going to knock over some tables. And Francesca Hong is someone who, she's going to knock over some tables, but I don't think she's going to do it for wrong reasons. And she's right about, this is a moment. This is not normal. You know, we, with rising costs and with truth just being optional and not really optional. Truth is gone. This is different. I think she's right about a lot of things. I think there's going to be a mountain to overcome with the S word. And I'm not going to get bleeped for saying it, cause it's socialism, democratic socialist. For whatever reason, and I know what reasons they are, you know, people don't like that. And I think to be able to hear that word and still come to the table and listen, that will be a monumental task. I think she's up for it, but that's not going to be easy, because what you're going to have on the other side is you're going to have an entire political party who will rally around Tom Tiffany's the candidate. He's the guy. Anybody that tells you otherwise, nope, don't listen. He's the guy. He's going to be their pick. He's going to be the one that they're going to be facing in November. That's the guy. And he's going to have that. That's his argument. That's going to be his argument. You can predict it like easily. That's what he's going to say about Francesca Hong. She's a socialist, 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 socialist. She wants to take all of your money. And I think it's very important for people to base their opinions and their all of it on truth. No, Francesca Hong does not want to take all of your money. And it's important for whether you support her or whether you don't to center all of your arguments around truth and fact. That's so important. That's so important, because whether it's this race or whether it's assembly or Senate or Congress, we have to be the coalition, rational revolution listeners. We have to be the people that deal in truth and fact and rationality. You know, when you have a president of the United States sit in front of people at a state dinner in England and be like, I'm the first president to come here. It's like, bro, you were here 6 years ago. What the hell are you talking about? You're like the eighth person to do this. I won the election big. No, you didn't. Francesca Hong wants to take your money. No, she doesn't. And whatever happens between now and the primary, we have to, as people who deal in truth and facts, it is important to take a breath and bring people to wherever you can to help them understand fact from fiction. It's important. You know, and we're going to have, I'm trying to have more Republicans on. I'm going to try to get Ken Sikora back to talk a little bit about, because we didn't really get into a lot in our discussion. I'm glad we had it. I am. And I hope we do that again. But we have to talk frankly about truth. And we have to agree on truth first before we can get to any solutions. That is so important. We have to agree on truth first before we get to any solutions. And I would love to hear what you think. And we do have a text line. You can text in. I'll read them if you do. I would love to hear it, because, I mean, this is important. This helps me too. This helps the show. This helps your candidates. I'd love to have your questions and learn a little bit about you and what you think. Because, I mean, this is going to be important. This is important for Wisconsin, and I think it's important for the country, because I started listening to Kamala Harris's book, and she said her first rally that she had was in Milwaukee, and she said the path to the White House goes through Wisconsin. And so whatever we do here next November is going to matter very, very much when it comes to what happens 2 years later. And not to say one prize is more important than the other, but as Francesca said, that that trifecta of the assembly, the Senate, and the governorship. Ooh, boy, does it matter. And we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep having people on, and we're going to keep this conversation going because this is so important. Living in truth and fact and rationality. Hey, that's what we're all about, baby. And we're going to see you next week here on The Rational Revolution. I'm so glad you're here. And yeah, stick around next week for the conversation continues. Thank you so much. I'm Mark Becker, and we'll see you.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Michael Wallace, the Atlantic hurricane season is heating up. Umberto has strengthened to a Category 4 storm with sustained winds of 145 miles per hour. It could impact the southeastern U.S. So could another tropical system that's currently in the Caribbean. CBS New York weatherman Lonnie Quinn.
This storm that could potentially become Imelda moves over the Bahamas as a tropical storm, moving right in the direction of the South Carolina coastline somewhere around Charleston.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster has declared a state of emergency. Parts of North Carolina still haven't recovered from Hurricane Helene a year ago this weekend. CBS's Janet Chamlian is there.
10 miles from Asheville, here in Swannanoa, the post office and the grocery store are still closed.
We need our grocery store for access to food. We need the post office. We've lost our hardware store. Our business corridor was completely devastated.
Tanya Allen created the Swannanoa Resilience Hub, a community